Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. We continue in this Gospel of John in what is called the Bread Discourse. It's all of these sayings, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, about bread and the bread of life. In the text for today, Jesus, remember from last week, had told them, I am the bread of life, and you've got to eat me in order to find eternal life. And he says, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And the people begin to complain. 10 minutes into his sermon, they start to complain because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they look at Jesus and they say, how can that be? How can that be? Aren't you Jesus, you know, Joseph and Mary's little boy? We know, I love this line, we know your mother and father. And if you keep this up, we're going to bring them over here and tell them what you're saying. And then Jesus begins to interpret for them what it means that he is the bread that has come down from heaven. Not the bread that your ancestors ate when they were traveling in the wilderness with God. It's not that bread. But I'm a different kind of bread, Jesus says. And you find your way to God through me. I'm that kind of bread. I imagine that as Jesus got halfway through this little discourse, I imagine the crowd around going, he really has lost his mind. And even as we read it, I don't know about you, but I wonder what it means. John takes this very solid and normal and everyday piece of life, just plain bread, and makes it into something deep and eternal, and even more importantly, life-giving. And not just any life. True life, Jesus says. Transformative life. Everything will be changed. Now, there's no question that at least at one level, John is looking for you to be thinking about the sacrament. That somehow this thing that we do where we all line up very orderly, kind of, and we remember to pick up the little cups on this side, and we remember not to dip our bread on this side, that something incredible is supposed to be happening. John wants you to think of that. John wants you to think of the fact that the people ate manna in the wilderness for 40 years, and that God was faithful and kept that bread coming. And John wants you to remember that when you come to this meal, something incredible will happen, that God's faithfulness will endure. But something else is going on here as well. John says, and they shall all be taught by God. Something in the eating of the bread teaches us something. Something about ourselves and also about God. As a matter of fact, in our text study over the last few weeks, what we've noticed is that in every one of these texts, The word teach or taught is repeated again and again. So often when we look at this part of John, we think of largely the issue of salvation, right? I'm going to live forever. All my sins are forgiven. I'm going to eat the bread and drink the blood, and it's the only way that I'm going to find God. And somehow that becomes the theme for a lot of folks. And we miss that we are being taught. We're being taught about what it means to be the body of Christ. I watched an interview the other day of one of our African-American Republican senators. And he was being asked about, this is the day we're remembering Charlotte, the riots that happened in Charlotte around race relations, around white supremacy. And the interviewer asked this Republican senator, what do you think we've learned since Charlotte? And I waited for it, and you never want to read too much into it, but you know when you ask a difficult question, watch people's faces. Some of us, our whole life lives on our face. I'm one of those people. And so when people say things to me, they usually know immediately, I'm like, and it was just fleeting across his face as he tried to figure out exactly what to say. And the answer was sort of, well, we've learned that we are a divided people. And I thought, and we didn't know that? We didn't know before Charlotte that we were a divided people? And as that all began to get unpacked, it was really interesting because issues around not only racial justice, but income justice, the disparity of income between men and women, and the fact that a person who is an African American in this country will make exponentially less than his or her white counterpart. It's interesting that within the Christian church even, depending on where you fall within the Christian church, we still have people who say, I receive the bread of life. And I believe that white people are the best thing that God has ever made. I find that amazing. And I wonder then, I wonder this question. At the time of Jesus, when he was first beginning to, as the sacramental theology began to shape itself and people found hope and life and love in that sacrament, I wonder if we see that right in the same way today. Does it still have the same power? Is it still teaching us anything? Those of us who stand behind the altar have the privilege of serving you the bread of life. And as the pastor of this congregation, I have the honor and the privilege of knowing often what's going on in your life. And I am astonished and honored every time to see people of different colors, different races, different backgrounds, different economic classes. I come sometimes, I will never forget, in my last call, these two men who had been battling one another for a better part of a year. You didn't know that happened in churches, do you? Yeah. I mean, they couldn't disagree on the time of day, even if I showed them a watch. And one Sunday, just by the vagaries of the Lord, they happened to be in line together. And they walked up together, right, one behind the other, never said a word. And you could just feel the, oh my gosh, I wonder if there's any room at the other church. And they knelt at the altar. And each received bread and wine and love, shoulder to shoulder, cheek to jowl. And I remember, because my brain flows all during communion, I remember as I was handing them the bread thinking, well, I wonder how this is going to go. And there was something about that meal that brought for them reconciliation. A new start. A new beginning. Will this rite that John describes, will this moment of bread bring that same reconciliation for us? Can we see the people who we kneel shoulder to shoulder with, or the people that we don't kneel shoulder to shoulder with, to be also God's children who need feeding and love and care? I think it's a salient question in a country where racial bias, racial anger, racism, white supremacy, even a rise in the neo-Nazi movement, seems to be the order of the day. Does this rite have any meaning or power for us when we respond to every slight with a tweet or an email or an angry word? Does this rite that feeds us bread and wine and love and grace and forgiveness and teaches us about all of those things have any meaning in our life? As the gap between the rich and the poor grows ever wider. We don't do this sacrament out of habit or obligation. It's not something we check off every Sunday and say, well, we've done that at least. I'm good for the next year. But we come to the altar to be taught by God what it means to be the body of Christ, to share bread and share what we have, to give the love that God gives us first freely and fully and abundantly for the sake of the world, and to pour ourselves out. And like it or not, there is no separation between our political life and our personal life and our religious life, because it turns out we're lousy at keeping those things separate. But God calls us to be really great. Really great as the people of God in sharing justice and peace and ourselves. Maybe that's at the core of what Jesus is up to in this text. Is that all the stuff about eternal life and all of that is all lovely, but in the end, Jesus says three times, I am the bread of life. Consume me and be changed. Eat of me and drink of me, and the world will be made whole. Forever. It's easy for Jesus to say, But I wonder in this day, is it easy for us to live?